is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are live at the Beacon Building right here in downtown Manchester, right on Elm Street, right at 814 Elm Street, just outside of the Midtown Cafe. And a little muggy out there today.
Dark, scary clouds to the north.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, but it's going away from us, and there's a little bit of rain and heavy rain like through Monadnock, up through Henniker, then a little bit west of Concord. So I think we're going to miss most of that.
Are we supposed to get some later maybe or something?
Pretty good chance we will. Yeah. Pretty good chance we will. This is probably the first round, but there will be more on the way, likely.
I like to sit on the front porch in a rainstorm. I love that. Well, you know, when the rain's going straight.
Not blowing at you, right?
You know, coming this way, it's not so cool. But
yeah,
I like to do that. So
How does Molly do, your dog?
Molly's okay.
With Thunder, though?
She's fine.
Is she?
She is fine. Oh. I mean, we live on Wordley Road, which isn't, you know, it's not really a busy street, but it is during traffic time, like traffic hour, because it's a throughway.
Mm-hmm.
And they fly up that street. So there is a lot of truckers that aren't supposed to be on that street, but they still do. And, you know, they make a lot of noise.
That rumbling
and
sound.
All that,
yeah.
And she loves it.
Does she?
That's what she does all day. She sits and perches on the couch and overlooks Wordley Road and watches for whoever's coming up the hill.
Yeah. Yeah, our dog does that too. But she does not like thunder and doesn't like fireworks or little explosions.
Yeah, no. Molly was in the backyard with us this 4th of July and sat with us and doesn't bother her at all.
Yeah. Some dogs are fine with that. Mine isn't really a fraidy cat about a lot of stuff, but that's one which is not unusual for dogs.
No,
I would say probably most dogs aren't really fans of thunderstorms.
So.
They have this thing called, and I never bought one.
Oh, the calming thing.
The thunder coat or thunder jacket or whatever that kind of keeps them confined as if they're being held or whatever. So, but you know what? I don't know if this is good or not, but I like if we're having thunder, the dog will get up with me on the couch and just side right up to my leg, and I just kind of pet her and hold her. But maybe that's bad because when I can't be there, how does she feel?
Yeah, but when you're not there and there's a thunderstorm, you're not there to put the thunderstorm thing on her.
I'm also not there for her to, like, get up next to her. We don't own one of those things, one of those garments, so I don't know.
I don't know either. But I took Tiger Lily, our new member of the family, to the vet this morning. 8 a.m. we were there, nice and early.
Mm-hmm.
And, I really thought that she weighed a lot more than what she weighed. I was thinking she weighed between 25 and 30
pounds. Right, it's a Maine Coon, right?
She weighs, I was told she was 14 years old.
Oh.
Her paperwork shows 2001, but there was two folders that they gave me, and I didn't go through it a whole lot. I figured I can't understand all those things, you know. So I just gave it to them this morning, and the vet actually said that he does not think that she's 14; thinks she's maybe like 9 or 10.
He could probably look at the teeth for one thing.
He said the teeth is number one.
Yeah.
Plus, she's pretty active. I mean, you know, you'd think a 14-year-old would just lay around, but she doesn't. She likes to play. And
would you say she weighs?
When she got on the scale, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to see what she weighs. She weighed 15 and a half pounds.
So that's a good 10 pounds less than you thought.
I know. 10 plus pounds, really.
But she's all fluffy and furry, which is deceiving, right?
Not anymore,
right?
Because I gave her the lion cut.
You did it?
I didn't show. Not me.
Oh.
Gosh. No, the groomer came over.
Okay.
Yeah. It cost me $75 for the lion cut.
For a call at home type of deal, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But if you took it to where they do it at their office, probably would be half that.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
So a lion cut is what? Like a big furry face and
the
rest?
I'll show you a picture.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's so cute. She looks like she has a little mane and her tail is all, you know, shaved, and then the big ball, and her feet are all furry.
Oh.
But the tops of her legs aren't. It's very cute.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's pretty cute.
Well, I can see why it'd be a little more costly, because it's sort of a specialty instead of zip-zip.
The reason that we did that was because she was so matted, and her hair was so long, and she needed a bath. She'd just been in the house for a few years.
Oh.
And, you know, and the groomer's actually the one that suggested that. And I'm like, you think? Oh, I guess whatever you think.
Yeah.
So, she does. You can tell she feels better.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you can tell.
And your dog, Molly, your Morkie, is fine?
Well, yeah, I mean,
boy,
you know.
That's good.
She's a little, you know, I can tell she's a little mad. She's a little pissed off.
Let's talk about this.
She, I can tell. She's got a little bit of an attitude,
yeah.
You know, but, you know, she's letting the cat know it's her house.
She is.
Oh, yeah. This morning, it was so funny. Usually, Daryl's the one that feeds them. But he didn't have to wake up so early. Mm-hmm. I was getting ready to go to the vet, and I like to do all my stuff before, so I was up a little bit early. And, of course, because I was up, I fed them. Well, Tiger Lily started eating Molly's food, and I didn't really realize it. Molly, mm-hmm. like, comes over to my leg, and it's kind of like, you know,
uh-huh.
kind of hitting me, like, and I look, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, Molly, she's eating your food. Like, no, don't, you know, because uh-huh. we have her food high up so that
yes.
on top of a kennel. So that's where, so that Molly can't get at Tiger Lily's food. So anyway,
that could create
it was
some
pretty
heart
cool.
feelings.
She was really communicating with me and letting
yeah.
me know that Tiger Lily was eating her food.
And she didn't bark or go after the cat, huh?
Nope. She just kind of looked and she's uh-huh. looking and she's like, what is she doing? I don't like this. And I stopped the cat and Molly woofed down her food.
Yeah.
She ate it.
Did you
like
add
that.
A little bit more, though? Or?
I'll give her a little more when I get home.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Well, she's been an only child since day one, right? So
yes.
She's got to get used to it. I mean, families grow and
right.
we all adjust and adapt, and I'm sure they'll be just fine if there's any hard feelings.
I think at night, Tiger Lily seems to stay downstairs at night. So, well, she does stay downstairs. She hasn't been upstairs because Molly is like in my bed with me. She's in the bed in the middle of us.
Okay.
Like, yeah, that's where she sleeps.
I know all about that.
I'm telling you, right in the middle.
Uh-huh.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
So there's no way that cat's coming in the bed. Molly will not
so you say.
Have that. No, Molly won't have that.
No.
I don't think so.
Does a cat
have,
go
like,
under
our
the bed?
Routine.
Or?
Nope, she doesn't come upstairs.
Mm.
She did like the first couple of days because she was hiding.
Yeah, right.
But it just seems like even last night we tried to call her up, mm-hmm. but she didn't want to come up. So
well,
anyway.
Tentatively sounds like it's working out well.
Well, upcoming segment, mm-hmm. Bizarre Snacks, Dan Sesney.
We're going to be trying more stuff today, you know.
I know.
Did you read about that gourd milk, white gourd milk?
I did. And the Taiwanese strawberry mochis? Sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, M-O-C-H-I-S. I don't know if that's mochis or mochis.
Mochis or...
Don't know.
It's sweet.
Well,
out of pressed rice.
I read his blog about the white gourd drink. So maybe if you haven't read it, I shouldn't tell you any more and let him.
I didn't read it.
Yeah, it's doesn't sound good.
Oh,
it doesn't sound good.
Okay, you should have not told me that.
Well, but see, I'm looking out for you.
Thank you, I appreciate that. All right, food holiday. Oh well, okay. We have Dan Sesney, Bizarre Snacks, and then at the top of the hour, we'll be joined with my good friend Alan Vonderhoff, who is.
How do you know him?
I've just known Alan from, he'd been on the radio, he'd been on my show a few times,
okay.
and he's helped co-host, and, you know, he's a writer, author, you know, he wrote the Margarita book, and he wrote the Bloody Mary book,
and
he's in the process of ending the Margarita book.
Oh, so that'll be out soon.
Yes, and if not out.
Well, what research I've been able to find, because I dig under every rock, is that that his wife had a Polo magazine.
Yes,
which I don't think it's still around.
It just stopped.
Yeah,
I
don't know how you make a living with something like that. I mean, there's a lot of money with advertisers and that type of you know, clientele, but. I don't see any Polo happening in New Hampshire, although probably like down on Hamilton and spots like that in Massachusetts.
I mean, he can tell you more about
it,
but they've been doing that for a while.
Yeah.
But I know that they just very recently stopped, but
mm-hmm.
we can find out. And he's going to be joined with his good friend, Kathy Burnham Martin. I don't know if those listeners out there remember Channel 9 back when Kathy Burnham was... one of the newscasters, one of the, you know, reporters or anchors. I think she was an anchor. She was an anchor.
Yeah, I believe she was. But here's somebody who has basically done it all. I mean, she's done about 10 books.
Yeah.
She's just done a bunch of stuff, motivational speaker. And you can see that when you work with her, as I have emceeing an event once. You just see she takes control and knows exactly what needs to be done. So I'm not at all surprised that because I didn't know she was an author. just didn't realize that.
Yeah, I didn't either. I knew
or
she was like into a bunch of things.
I knew she was a foodie.
I know.
A thousand recipes.
I know.
So we're going to have some interesting folks joining us today.
Kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then we'll end the show with Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And I did bump into Holly. So Holly Blanchard will be joining us today with Nikki.
Oh.
There will be no Julie. So
okay.
I think she'll still be on vacation.
They are both fantastic speakers.
They're
both
excellent.
Very, very tuned in and turned on and passionate about Make-A-Wish.
Yes.
So that's going to be a good segment.
Yeah, it will.
All right.
Well, Dan Cesney is in the house. He's just entered the green room. So we're going to go on a break. You're listening to The Pulse 107.7 Food for Thought. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7. The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It is Tuesday today, and it is time for our segment called Bizarre Snacks. Dan Cesney is here joining us. He's an author, writer, traveler, and he has been bringing us in some different kind of food, shall I say?
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for having me back. Glad to be here. We have some interesting things to talk about
today.
Well,
we're just recovering from the last visit 2 weeks ago, which actually was not that bad. The spicy tuna, I loved it.
Yeah, it was good, right?
Yeah, it was very good. Now, you're not a tuna person, right? Is that recall?
I am.
In general?
You know, it depends. I'm not. It wouldn't be like my first go-to thing.
Yeah.
No.
The canned coffee, though, was a little underwhelming.
Yeah, and for the price,
but
too.
Not disgusting. I mean,
it wasn't disgusting.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But we may cross that line today based on a little research that I've done, Carol.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting day today. but I did bring two cups, and that means Mike and Carol.
So. Mm-hmm.
But we'll wash it down with something that I think you're going to enjoy.
Something kind of yummy?
Yes.
Oh.
Now, it's interesting.
Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, because we can get to that after.
Well, I just noticed that pretty much what you brought today came from Market Basket.
Yes, what I did.
So talk about that.
2 weeks ago, I made you a promise, and I said I was going to go and do an expedition at Market Basket.
An expedition. I love it.
And come back.
Well, he's a hiker.
And come back with Market Basket Bizarre Snacks. And now, first, it's, this is not an endorsement of Market Basket, although I do use it, and I like Market Basket.
Fair enough.
And secondly, this is the Market Basket on Elm Street, right down the road from us here, and which is different from the one in Bedford or the one in Hooksett. And part of the reason for that is because this is an urban ethnic community right here that shops, so they have a lot of more urban ethnic foods in this Market Basket than they do at others. So I went a few days ago, and I spent a couple hours there, just sort of
a couple hours.
Yeah,
wow.
A couple hours going up and down the aisle, seeing what they had, what they didn't have, and I came back with a whole bag of interesting things. But we'll talk about. And I picked out two specific for you today that I thought would be interesting. But there's a lot of other stuff to talk about as far as Market Basket goes.
Did you get approached by anybody who works there after observing the closed circuit cameras?
Yeah.
There's this guy been walking around. Is he a spy for Shaw's?
Picking things up and going to my phone and punching in the website and saying, what's this all about? You know, where does this come from? Well, they have two main aisles at Market Basket where the connoisseur of bizarre snacks can primarily hang out. One, of course, is the Goya aisle. And everybody knows Goya, and we'll talk about Goya in a second.
Okay.
The other is they have they name it the Asian foods, just Asian foods, and that's where the ramen is. And
it's a pretty broad umbrella, though.
It's a really broad umbrella, but primarily what Market Basket means by Asian foods is Chinese and Japanese, and that's about
it. Put Indian in that?
Yeah, there's a little bit, but nothing to write home about.
Nothing Nepalese, I would guess.
No, there's some Singapore, like the drink we're going to be drinking today is from Singapore.
Okay.
There's no Nepal. There's not a lot of India. It's primarily Japanese and Malaysian and Chinese. And
but as population demographics change locally, that could change as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a side note, directly across the street from Market Basket is a little grocery store called Himalaya, which is India and Nepal.
Oh.
So, and maybe in 2 weeks we'll talk about We'll talk about the little hole-in-wall groceries that are around Manchester, because you can get some interesting things from there.
That's a really great idea. And, yeah. You know, I love the idea that you went up and down and you spent some time looking at all these products.
Spent some time in Market Basket.
I'm thinking of doing that, too, because that would be a writer's dream.
Well, you know, I have a little baby now, so that's really a kind of an afternoon out for me. You know,
because
this way I can say, hey, Mina, I'm just going shopping. Get it?
And
she can, okay, go ahead. So. So there's that. But before we even start on that, Carol, since you stumped me 2 weeks ago on cream crackers, I actually have some information for you on cream crackers you're interested. So cream crackers, the ones that that I brought last week, are from Malaysia. And the company is called Hup Seng. But the cream crackers themselves are similar to a matzah, right? Mm. But it contains yeast, and it's a lot thicker. It was actually invented by a guy, Joseph Houghton, at his home in Ireland. So it's actually Irish. It was invented in Ireland, and which he had in a small bakery in the 1880s. So it was invented in 1885. So it is primarily Ireland, England, Wales. That's where cream crackers are best known from, and they're made of wheat flour, palm oil, and yeast.
That's interesting. Well, my niece was here that lives in England, and she knew all about the cream crackers.
Yeah. So. Have you had them, Carol?
No.
You have not?
Just that day when Dan brought them in.
And those...
They were different. They were good.
And the Hup Seng cream crackers that we had, they are at Market Basket.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so you can actually go get them at Market Basket. I didn't know that, but I found they're in the Asian grocery aisle.
Really? Irish product?
Well, an Irish product, because the Hup Seng are made in Malaysia.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, they do have a lot of ethnic things in Market Basket.
Yeah.
They really do when you're looking for something
which
different.
Which is smart.
It is smart.
Very smart.
Yeah. Is.
So did you, when you selected what we're going to sample today, what was the criteria for what you chose? Because I'm sure there are many others that you either bought or will buy down the road.
Yeah.
Depending on how you're feeling that day, how much you like us.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, it depends on what I think Mike can eat or can't eat. Although I know Mike will put anything in his mouth, so.
Wow.
So I've heard. Mm-hmm. So we're going to try two things today. We're going to try white gourd drink.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked that because who the heck knew that gourds, you could eat gourds? I had always thought they were just used at Halloween for decorations, but you can eat gourds. So I thought that was interesting enough to give it a try. The other thing that we're going to try today are called mochi, and they're Japanese, M-O-C-H-I, mochi. Mm-hmm. They're Japanese confectionaries that are treats. They can be frozen or you can eat them as like cookies. The reason I picked these is because I know mochi, and I've eaten the ice cream mochis before. My wife always brings them home, and you can buy them. You can't buy them at Market Basket, but you can buy them down at H-Mart. But the dry version, sort of the cookie version, I've never had before.
That's what this is?
And that's what this is. Okay. So I thought that would be an interesting thing to try because I've never tried it before, and I know what mochis are, so they're bound to be pretty good.
Looks like Munchkins Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, right. I picked one because it sounded really crazy, and I picked the other because I was familiar with it.
I kind of wish that you hadn't tried the white gourd drink ahead of time because now I kind of know what to expect.
Yeah, well,
and I think from now on you should try it with us for the first time.
For the first time, should I do that? Okay.
Right.
Well, I did put the essay up on my website about the white gourd drink.
Yeah.
And I know Mike likes to he likes to see what it's all about beforehand. So, but from now on I will try them with you.
Okay.
I'll try them with you.
And
how about that? And then I'll put something up.
And then put something up because you'll have reactions from two other people.
Yeah. But, you know, to be fair about Market Basket, what we're trying to do here is if you are, if you're an American eater and you're all about hamburgers and hot dogs and French fries and you haven't really set foot into sort of ethnic food or cuisine, mm-hmm. Market Basket is a great place to start. And a lot of supermarkets are just a great place to start because they all have a Goya aisle. And you can just go to, I mean, that's a great, like, sort of first step into getting into some ethnic foods. And I mean, everybody,
I think of beans, but what else do they make?
Oh my gosh, they have 2,000 different types of products, the Goya brand. 2,000.
Wow.
Well, Goya is the brand that Donna from Delaware uses her Sazon.
Oh.
Her Saison.
Oh, yes. Okay,
yeah.
Right. The little packets of flavoring.
Mm-hmm. They have all sorts of different things.
Yes.
They have Spanish. They have Puerto Rican. They have Caribbean. They have Mexican. They have Cuban foods. Goya is actually the largest Hispanic-owned company in the United States. They actually employ about 4,000 people. They're based out of New Jersey City.
Well, until Trump gets in, and then, of course.
That's terrible.
Got to make it political.
So, but that's a great first step. And,
yes.
You know, if you, and beans. Beans and rice. That's the what do they call it? The doorway. The doorway
yeah.
drug to ethnic foods is beans and rice, because that's the foundation of so many other ethnic foods.
Sure.
And Goya is perfect for that. So, Market Basket has this enormous Goya aisle, and they have dozens and dozens of different beans and flavor packets and noodles and all sorts of things.
Well, that's a good introduction. Thank you for filling us in a little
bit on that. The first place to go if you're looking to get a head start, you know, before you get to the gourd drink, is the Goya aisle.
Is that a cucumber on that?
No, I think
it's a gourd.
I think that's a gourd. See?
Yeah,
it's
like a squash or a gourd.
It looks like a cucumber.
Yeah, it does from a distance, but.
Interesting.
It's Yo's. That's the name of the brand.
Yeah, Yo's is the name of the brand.
Y-E-O apostrophe S.
They're an enormous company. This is Singapore, out of Singapore, but they have branches all over the world. They're really big. In fact, if you read the essay, one of our cousins who lives in Nepal actually warned us off of Yo's.
yes.
too big, too commercial. You're not so. But we ignored that warning. Much.
There's 24 grams of sugar in there.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. And how many servings? One or two?
One.
See, you got to wonder about their nutritional standards across the world and the cleanliness. Not the cleanliness, but the... maybe it is that.
Yeah.
The standards they have.
And this is real simple, too. This is just
it
water,
is. It's
cane
not
sugar,
too much stuff in there.
Gourd juice, and caramel, and then artificial flavor. We never know what the artificial flavor is.
That's the unknown.
Yeah.
Right. Good Lord.
Well, how about we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll have our little samples all ready.
So you don't think we should drink it first, then take the break, as we have to go to the bathroom?
No.
All right, I'm just thinking ahead, Carol. I'm fine with taking a break.
We are going to take a break. You're listening to The Pulse, 107.7. We're in studio with Dan Sesney, author, writer, traveler, and part of our new segment, Bizarre Snacks. Stay tuned, and we'll be back. And Mike and I are going to try some white gourd juice and some strawberry mochi. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you know? Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com. And Casey's Rib Shack, famous hickory-smoked award-winning Southern Pit Barbecue on 2nd Street in Manchester, ribshack.net. This is 107.7 WTPL, The Pulse. And we are just about to dive into some food experimentation. And we, Carol and I, are the guinea pigs.
Yes, you are.
Because, Dan, you've had this. Dan Sesney, by the way, is our Bizarre Snacks every other week guest.
Well, I've had the first one, which is Yo's White Gourd Drink.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Yo's is, they're out of Singapore.
Okay.
The Yo's is well known for putting things in cans that you wouldn't think would go in cans. they have a curry drink. They have a jelly grass drink. I don't even know what jelly grass is.
Jelly grass? Ooh.
So they have all sorts of strange things. And this one, yes, we did try. I actually have an essay about it up on my website, dansesney.com. And Mike has read that, so you know what's coming.
Yes, I do. I'm going to take it like a man.
So we'll start with the Yo's, and then we'll move to what I think it will be much tastier. Now, the first hint that this was not going to be great is that there's no carbonation in this drink.
Oh, okay.
And as you know, as you both know, carbonation often hides an otherwise untasty drink. The sparkly bubbliness.
Do you need to shake that? Is there any sentiment?
No, there's no sentiment. There's nothing. It's so you can. I'll put it by the mic. You can hear.
Crap,
you can hear the lack of carbonation. Oh, there was a little carbonation.
Was?
There was a little carbonation. There was a little bit. Okay.
All right.
Maybe this may not be as bad as. First of all, I want you to smell it.
All right.
It's quite strong.
Well, you know what? Maybe my olfactory gland is not working too well today. It's not that strong, and it's not that bad. Yeah. I got to be honest with you. Okay. I don't think it smells bad. Right, Carol, you want to take a whiff?
This might be...
This may, you know, maybe you got the one rancid can of the whole run.
I could have. We may disagree. Yeah. Here, I'm giving it to Carol. You can do the sniff test first.
Like it's a fine wine.
Are you serious? That does not smell good at all.
But I can't put my finger on what it is, though.
Ooh, yeah. Maybe some kind of medicine or something.
Yeah. Now, this is...
Did you drink it yet?
No.
Yeah. See, now, according to the can, the ingredient, according to the company website, the ingredients are very simple. We're just talking about water, cane sugar, caramel, white gourd juice, and then there's the... artificial flavor. So we don't know what the artificial flavor is.
Well, it's got the caramel color, so you got to wonder how much of the actual gourd juice is part of this. I'm going to slug some down,
Carol. Yeah, take some. See what you think.
It's not that bad, quite honestly. I mean, I was expecting it to be just horrible.
I didn't like it at all.
I'm going to finish it up, and I might even drink Carol's.
Oh, please, you can have the rest of the can.
You can drink mine.
To me, it was sort of like...
It's actually kind of sweet.
Like flat cream soda.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I don't find it disgusting at all. I wanted to.
I'll get you a six-pack.
No. My six-pack days are gone. Here, take a look.
But Yo's is very popular. Their gourd drink, it comes in a whole bunch of different flavors, I guess. It's like in Malaysia, and very popular.
Do we have some more cups when we have our next guests, Alan and Kathy?
You have them try it, too?
We're going to make them drink some.
I think that's a great idea. Yep.
Okay. So what did you think, Carol? It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't good.
You know what? I took two sips of it. I really think that the smell is worse than what it tastes.
Yeah, as soon as you...
That smell, it's something you can't
identify it. Yeah. But it's not a stink.
No, it's just something indescribable. It's something that I don't think you should be putting in your mouth.
Oh, well, how much do you see left in there?
Look at that. Good for you, Mike.
I finished it off.
I think that could be the tagline for when they do commercials, what Carol just said. Something indescribable. Yo's, white gourd drink, something indescribable.
Well, I think the Almond Joy or Peter Paul Mounds or whatever it was, use that indescribably delicious. They may have trademarked that. So better think of something else.
Well, good. I'm glad you weren't entirely repulsed.
No. I mean, you scared me for no reason.
I was a little nervous.
I almost called in sick today.
See how much this is all about taste?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is very subjective.
It just didn't appeal to me, and Mike likes the horrible foods.
But what I would like to know is what you could mix with that in terms of an adult spirit of sort.
And what do you think?
I don't know. Maybe some kind of a whiskey, perhaps. I mean, it's got the whiskey color for one thing. So.
Right. Like a cream, like a liqueur, something like that.
It's sweet. It's definitely sweet. You could even probably put ice in it and blend it, maybe.
True.
With some vodka or rum, maybe rum. You know?
Yeah, rum is another possibility. Make a nice, healthy smoothie out of this. I don't think this is probably particularly healthy.
No, it's not, because it's very sweet.
Let me see.
There's a lot of sugar.
Yeah, a lot of sugar.
24 grams of sugar, which... I don't drink soda, so I don't even know what soda is, but for sugar, it's probably in that ballpark.
Yeah.
Okay. Product of Malaysia.
Now, you know what, Mike? I'm a little nervous because he said we weren't going to like this, but he said
I know.
Yeah, so this might be...
So the next one we're supposed to like.
You're supposed to like, so I may have set you up here for...
Yeah, you may have.
Mochi is ice cream mochi is one of my favorite treats. It's Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
Mochi itself is a Japanese rice cake. Made out of short grain glutinous rice. So what they do is the rice is pounded into a paste that's molded into these little balls. And then they put all sorts of things inside of it. In our case, we're eating strawberry mochi.
Okay.
So it's a real treat. It's traditionally a Japanese New Year treat, but they eat it all year round. Now, I have only had the ice cream version of mochi, and I love them. I have never had this is called the soft version or the cookie version of mochi. So this will be for me soon.
Well, that's what I'm...
It feels like what you said at the break.
Yeah, exactly. it does. But it also kind of feels like it could be a gummy bear
It's very soft.
Some kind of gelatinous sugar syrup.
Yeah, it's gelatinous rice. It's short grain gelatinous rice. And the flour is mixed to a sticky white mess. And it's cooked on the, you can cook it on the stovetop or on the microwave.
You can?
Yeah. Yeah, that's not for me.
No, you don't like it, huh? All right, let me try it.
I didn't even take a bite.
I love it. All right, well, so some people that don't like the texture itself.
And that's what I don't like is the texture.
Mm. Well,
let's look at you guys.
I barely get
Dan
any of the strawberry.
And Mike right now are
it's a tiny little strawberry.
I mean, the filling doesn't look like strawberry. When I look at that, I think of apricot
it looks like
or something.
Fig.
Yeah, it looks like a fig or something,
right.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Again, not horrible.
No, I'm not.
Oh, come on, Carol.
It's not that bad. It's
I'll go with the gourd juice.
Now, do you not like the texture?
Yeah,
the texture is what bothers you.
Yeah, it's squishy and I don't know. I don't know.
I'm going to try to pronounce the actual name of this, and I'm probably going to butcher it terribly, so if there's any Japanese listeners, please call in. The strawberry mochi is known as Ichigo Daifuku, which is the strawberry mochi. And I personally like the... I like the ice cream one.
The ice cream.
A little bit better, but this isn't bad.
So
I could eat these.
The ice cream, how is it different? How is the texture different? I mean, is it traditional ice cream, but has this flavor? Is that it?
Yeah, the texture of the rice cake itself is exactly the same, only, cold, because it doesn't freeze.
Okay.
It's so gelatinous.
Mm-hmm.
But the ice cream on the inside freezes. So it's almost like fried ice cream, that has
it has a coat. Right. It has
coat.
This on the coating around it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
And they come in all sorts of different flavors. Pretty much anything you can think of.
I hope you brought
of.
Some more flavors.
Nope, just this one. I'm sorry, Mike. But next time, I'll bring you some. But the problem is that ice cream mochi is not at Market Basket. They don't have that.
Oh, I was going to ask where you would get it.
So you'd have to go down to H Mart or the Burlington Mall. Has it down there.
The Burlington Mall?
Carol, you want to take a little field trip down there and get some mochi ice cream?
You got to go to H Mart, though. If you guys haven't been to H Mart, you really need to experience H Mart. It's in, where the heck is it? I think it's in Burlington. It's just over, it's like exit 20. It's like one of those places where I don't know where it is. I just know what exit to get off of to get to it.
Yeah.
And it's a huge Asian supermarket, primarily Korean, but they have Japanese. And it's all fresh foods, and they have... things like kimchi and all sorts of samples you can take and all that. And then they have the ice cream mochi. The problem is that it's so far away that it rarely lasts all the way back up to my house.
You mean you're munching them in the car?
I eat it on the way back, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, do you and your wife shop at H Mart for things that she makes? Does she cook much native?
Yeah, she cooks a lot, actually. They have dumplings there. This sort of these generic Chinese
like
dumplings.
Stickers.
Yeah, like pot stickers.
Yeah.
And we really get those. And also we make momos. And we go down there to get the momo wrappers and sometimes some of the meat and some of the ingredients for the momos that we bring up. And make
now, the momo
with.
Wrappers are kind of, it's a rice, thin rice.
Yeah, it's almost like
tortilla?
Like a tortilla.
Right.
It's a lot thinner.
Yeah.
And you just wet the ends and you can roll it into a little dumpling.
I think that's
dumpling.
Maybe what Z used as the base for their Asian nachos.
Oh, they have Asian nachos.
No,
those were wontons. No, they were
actually you're right. They're wontons.
They were wontons.
Those were wontons.
But they were very thin and flat. So he and Tom said he would get them locally at a market that carried culturally different foods.
I bet you he's probably talking about H Mart.
No, I think he got them in Manchester.
Did he?
In their place over Stuff Willow.
There's a tiny place. Well, there used to be the what was it called? The Saigon Market.
Yes,
and they closed. And they're reopening a new store up on Valley Street, but way up north on Valley Street is an Asian grocery, and I forgot the name of it. It's tiny; it's just twice the size of this room.
Okay,
they might have it. I haven't been in there, but I'll go there for our next show. I'll do a little Asian market run for you.
It's surprising when you drive around the city. There's a lot of those little kinds of markets and stores.
They're all over the place.
Yeah,
I remember one of the very first stories that we did for the Hippo, food stories that we did for the Hippo, was go around. We had a food writer by the name of John Flatt, and he went around. He spent a week going from, little hole-in-wall market to hole-in-wall.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of European ones, too. Like, there's Bartlett's, which is down by the school there, which is Polish and Romanian food.
Oh,
so
yeah,
a lot
down
of stuff.
There. They're famous for their...
pierogi.
Yeah. And sausage, too, I think.
Yeah,
right?
They make a fresh smoked Polish sausage.
Yeah.
Feel free to bring some of that anytime.
I will.
Lots of shows left to do. So
can't
many
wait.
Snacks, so little time.
So little time, yeah.
Dan
says, I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, I did. I found neither of them disgusting, but neither that I would probably go out of my way to get.
All right.
But thank you for exposing us.
Yes,
you're very welcome.
For sure.
That's the whole idea is awareness, isn't it?
Bizarre Snacks. You are the Andrew Zimmer of
Top Radio. It can't be alive, though.
That's right. It can't
I won't eat anything that's moving.
I agree. You're listening to Food for Thought. We're at the top of the hour. We're going to go on a short break, and we'll be back with Alan Vanderhoff and Kathy Burnham Martin. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.